Today on Real Radio.
We become cynical. We may have started out in our faith very trusting and innocent and very, very believing, but then we wind up questioning everything. And we've lost that childlike faith. And we're not enjoying our Christian walk anymore. We've graduated.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. Now in Joshua chapter 5, the first 12 verses talk about how the Amorites and the Canaanites found out about Joshua leading the people of Israel across the Jordan in a miraculous way. And to say that Israel's enemies, the Amorites and the Canaanites, got a little worried at this point, well, that's pretty much an understatement. The true God of Israel then gave some specific and very special instructions that we'll learn about today in a lesson called Living in the Land of Faith. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No, God says, I want my people to be circumcised. Circumcision in the Old Testament was a seal upon the flesh of an internal commitment. Note this, Christian, they crossed the river of judgment, Jordan. They went into the promised land, the new walk of faith. And then, and only then, were they circumcised. They were not circumcised before they crossed over, lest they should trust in their works. Oh, you see, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible because I was baptized when I was 11, somebody might say. Or I was baptized as an infant. What does that have to do with going to heaven? It has nothing. You must first become the believer, put your faith in Christ. Then baptism follows, which is a New Testament manifestation and symbolic representation of Old Testament circumcision. You are to be baptized after you have come to faith in Christ. When you have repented from your sins, the Bible teaches, then you're baptized. Unfortunately, there are scores of millions of people on earth who are trusting in the fact that they were baptized and they have no living faith in God. You know what I'm talking about? It's pathetic when somebody says, well, you were baptized, you're okay, go on your way. That is heresy. The flesh had to be cut away. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, Deuteronomy 10, 16 says, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your hearts and don't be stiff-necked anymore. You see, we need to have our heart as a Christian completely and constantly trimmed away, our hearts. You and I battle every day with the temptation to harden our hearts. And let me tell you something. The believer fights with this, and I believe this more than ever before in my life. The more you're involved in ministry, the more you're involved in serving, which all of us are to be, the more you must guard your heart against hardening. You want to know why? Don't you think if you worked at a church, everything would be perfect? That angels kind of flit through the hallways during the daytime? If I just worked at the church, I wouldn't have to put up with this jerk of a boss I have. Well, I can be quite a jerk. Hey, listen, we're not in heaven yet. And you begin to think, well, you know, there's the promised land. Hey, as we minister even to God's people, and as you, as a Christian, have served friends or our family or neighbors, so often you pour your heart out and people have the tendency to crush you right in your face. They'll stomp on you. What do? Pack up your heart and go home? No, you got to make sure it stays tender before the Lord and leave it out there. It's going to get crushed again. I know. But you know what? I'm a servant of the Lord. It's got to get crushed. That doesn't seem fair. Nobody said it was going to be fair. I want fairness. Well, then I don't know. You're not going to get that. But you hurt my feelings. Join the club. You know how Satan gets to Christians these days, and I think the more committed they are, the more Satan uses this. He uses other Christians. If some guy walked up and said, I'm a bona fide, card-carrying, communist, ACLU, liberal bum, and I hate Christians. Well, guess who your enemy is. But when somebody comes up and says, like David, and they pray with you and fellowship with you, and then your familiar friend lifts up their heel against you, that's another story. That hurts deeply. King David knew a lot about that. Our hearts need to be constantly trimmed, people, because there's a constant attack against us to harden our hearts in marriage, with family, with friends. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says, "And when they had called the people to himself, Jesus, calling his disciples, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself,'" that's cut away the flesh, "'and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, to save his life will lose it. But whoever gives his life away shall find it.'" That is the most least understood scripture of all of the Bible in our Western world. We are taught, save our life. Look out for number one. I want the biggest slice of the pie. Let me sit up front. Jesus says, deny yourself and you'll find life. Take up your cross. Kill the flesh daily. Follow Christ daily. The temptations that you and I will go through this day or tomorrow, kill the flesh. Jeremiah 4, verse 4 says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart." It's easy to trust in the outward things, but to have the heart circumcised is another thing. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, they said, "We're rich, we have need of nothing, we've got everything." And Jesus says, "I tell you, you're poor, you're miserable, wretched, and naked." Because they didn't see the hardening of their own heart on the inside. Yet on the outward, they had a cross on the steeple. They had a church. Maybe their parking lot was filled, but they had become dead. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, "For he is not a Jew." That word is Jew, praiser of God. "He is not a praiser of God who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is of the flesh, but he is a praiser of God who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the law, whose praise is not from men, but from God." We are to be trusted in Jesus Christ alone. Trust in him fully. And then it says in verse 4 and 5, "And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out of Egypt had been circumcised." They all died. They were circumcised, but they didn't enter into God's promise. They didn't rest. They had the outward religiosity, but inward their hearts betrayed them and betrayed their confession. By faith in Jesus Christ this morning, you are justified by all wrong, by all sin. You are not justified by your outward giving to the church, your service to the church, your circumcision, or your baptism. By the works of the flesh shall no one be justified in God's sight. Living in the land of faith means that we're to be freed from the flesh. Freed from the flesh. "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt," which is a type of the world, a symbol of the world, Egypt, "they were destroyed." Listen, who destroyed them? Don't be shy. God destroyed them, but why did he have to destroy them? Because of unbelief and disobedience. Did he want to destroy them? No. They were consumed. Why? Look at, "because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give unto us, a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 7, "Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way." First thing we want to see here in verse 6 is that we can be freed from our sins because of what God has done, yes, because of what he has promised, yes, but because we are to receive the gift. We are to receive this land flowing with milk and honey, so to speak. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Therefore, since a promise remains to all of us to enter into God's rest, let us be in awe, reverential fear, lest any of us seem to come short of that rest. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them," them referring those who did not enter into God's rest. "But the word which they heard, they did not profit by it, because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter into the rest of God, as he has said, 'I have sworn in my wrath that those who do not believe shall not enter into my rest,' even though it had been furnished for them before the foundations of the world were ever laid." Listen, quickly this. God has promised to give your life peace and contentment and rest, and to free us from our flesh. That's what he has promised. If I'm struggling with my flesh, I can turn to God's promise and say, "Now, Lord, wait a minute. I'm being tempted in this area. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to immediately say, hey, I don't have to go this way. I can be reminded that Romans says, sin shall not have dominion over me." We all get tempted, but must we sin? No, we don't have to. That's what the scripture teaches. Do we? Yeah. Unfortunately, because we don't always yield to the word. Today, when you and I leave this place, we can drive in our cars as though they were tanks. Driving out down the street as they're tanks. We can go on our way victorious. Nothing can pierce us unless we give it opportunity. And we do. We always leave a little door unlocked here and there, which is wrong. For my own life personally, the first place I leave a door unlocked is when I don't partake in personal devotion daily with the Lord. That's my first place of leaving the door unlocked. That's where I begin to blow it. If I get underway with my day and I haven't spent time with him, the whole day after that is catch up. The whole day after that is crisis control. Have you noticed? But man, when you give your heart and your attention to the Lord in the morning, have you noticed what happens? We need to be freed from the flesh, which God has provided for us to enjoy. When it says in verse 8, "So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" What in the world is the reproach of Egypt? The reproach of Egypt would have been the embarrassment that the children of Israel had experienced of not entering into the promised land. Egypt mocked them. 11 days journey from Egypt to Canaan, and it took them 40 years. 40 years because of disobedience. And Egypt knew about it. They had heard about it. They were watching them doing donuts out in the desert, going in circles. What are they doing? Can you imagine? Are they still out there? Yeah, it's been 10 years. They're still doing donuts out there. They got all these tracks in the desert, walking in circles. Isn't that weird? You ever feel like that? God, where are you? He says, "I'm over here." "What are you doing over there, Jack?" "I'm just doing circles." They tell us that when we're lost in the fog or in the forest, that we'll eventually do a circle, because one bit of our stride is longer than the other, and we'll eventually form a circle as we're lost until we're found. The children of Israel were circling in the wilderness, and Egypt mocked them. Living in the land of faith means that we're to enjoy our salvation. I've often said here that if you're not enjoying your Christianity, you're doing it wrong. And I want you to ask yourself right now, are you enjoying your Christian walk? You answer that inside. If you say no, then what's wrong with you? And what's wrong with me if I'm not? Again, there's some blood involved. As we draw closer to the Lord, we're to deny our flesh take up our cross and follow him. Yep, that happens. But oh man, the pleasures and the joys of walking with the Lord far outweigh that stuff. Well, everyone's going to think I'm a fool. They already do. Stand up for Christ. I look at little children like you do, and you say they're just so sweet. And we label them as innocent because they're so easily read. You can see right through them. Oh, look what he's doing. I know why he's doing that. Oh, look at him. He's so cute. And then they grow up, and they're teens. And they go from full submission and full obedience to questionable doubt, don't know. The only thing they are sure of is that they're to be in control of everything. And you see this difference as they go from their early years to the teen years. And you can look back now as you get older. As I get older, I look back and I see exactly what these teens mean when they say this and the other. In the teens, they always want to be different. They want to cut a new trend, you know. And then you look at the adults where we're all at. And it's almost as though you take the worst of the teens and you take the worst of the little kids. And as adults, we just refine it all. We kind of hide it, put makeup on it, cover it up, wear a shirt on it. We become cynical. We may have started out in our faith very trusting and innocent and very, very believing, but then we wind up questioning everything. And we've lost that childlike faith. And we're like a contradiction because we're adults and we've been Christians for so long. Follow me! Yet we so often become quenched and deceived, and we're not enjoying our Christian walk anymore. We've graduated to what Paul says to the church at Galatia. You began in the spirit, you did great, but look, you've wound up in the flesh. Ask yourself this morning, is my Christianity dynamic? Is it moving? Is it crossing Jordan rivers? Is it taking the land? Is the enemy trembling because I know God? Are you having a good time in your Christian walk? True joy is following God. Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things were written before time were written for our learning that we might have hope. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, it says, now all these things happened to those of the Old Testament examples that they might be examples to us who are written down for our admonition and whom the ends of the ages have come. All the things of the past, these very children crossing the Jordan, their life's example is for us to learn. The real joy and the real enjoyment of life, the real happiness that the world is seeking after, believe it or not, is found in following God. You'll never be happy without following him. But we have to become dead to our flesh. And that's what this first 12 verses are all about. Now that you're in the family of God, draw closer to him and circumcise the flesh. Cut it off. Because God's got some great things to do. So the final thing in verses 10 through 12 is that we're to enjoy our Christian life. I want to leave these thoughts with you as we close here. It says in verses 10 through 12 that the manna, after they had crossed, the manna ceased. Remember what manna means? It means, what is it? What is it? What's the manna? What is it? Every day when God provided the people of Israel in the wilderness, they would open up their tent door, and you know what was in front of them? Manna. It came down from heaven. Fed them. They had manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. Manna. They crossed over into the promised land, no more manna. Why? Because God was now going to provide from the land. You don't need manna coming down from heaven every day because you're walking in the promise. Came from heaven to the earth. Manna was a type of bread. A lot of people believe it's angels' food. Angels' food cake. Manna. If it's good enough for angels, you think it's good enough for us. And God says, no, it's not good enough for you. I've got a better plan for you. When you walked out of your tent on Monday morning, you either picked up the manna and took it into your family and fed them, or you had to step over the manna. Every day of your life, if you're a Christian or not, you must either pick up the bread of life or walk over it. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're walking over the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, my Father gave you manna in the wilderness, and those people perished. But he said, I've come, and I am the bread of life, that if you eat of me, you'll never die. I am that eternal bread. You either receive the bread and take it into your home and spread it around, or you step over the manna. And until we come to Jesus, repent of our sins and come to Christ, we're stepping over the manna. And there'll be coming a day when God says, no more stepping over my manna anymore. My son, your day's up. Your number's up. I gave you 40 years. And your number's up. Listen, pick up the bread of life and take him into your heart. The manna ceased from heaven because they had entered into the promise, a type of the Christian life. Have you come to that place? Are you eating of the bread of life? If you have, you don't have to worry about becoming a Jehovah's Witness. You won't have to worry about becoming a Mormon. You won't have to worry about becoming a Buddhist or a monk of something or this or the other. You know why? Jesus says, if you eat of the bread I give you, you'll never hunger again. He says, if you drink of the water I give, you'll never thirst again. You'll never go looking anywhere else. Have you ever been satisfied like that? You're so satisfied, you don't look anywhere else. It's all right. You come home. Most of us in this room know that. Listen, we know that feeling because it's founded on the Word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study that takes a look at the first 12 verses of Joshua chapter 5, and it's called Living in the Land of Faith. It's a section of scripture that tells how Israel's enemies had a change of heart, if you will, when they learned the news about Joshua miraculously leading God's people across the Jordan. Living in the Land of Faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I gotta tell you, I've had the chance myself to visit the land of Israel with Pastor Jack a couple of times, but maybe you were unable to do so, and that's precisely why we're offering Live from Israel on DVD. You're gonna like this DVD. Live from Israel, subtitled Relationship, Not Religion, is a message taught by Pastor Jack on the southern steps of the Temple Mount, some of the very steps that Jesus himself walked. Once you watch this DVD, Scripture will come alive for you in ways that it never has before. Our offer for your tax-deductible gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this DVD. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention it by name, Live from Israel, Relationship, Not Religion, by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know exactly where to point and click. We've made that real easy for you, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Or if you'd like, send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.